Welcome back to another deep dive. Today we're going to explore something really special. It's called La Sin Sombrero. Basically, it's this really cool project celebrating these incredible Ibero-American women writers of the 20th century.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. I mean, you may have heard some of these names before, but trust me, this project really goes deep. It's not just a quick introduction.
Right, it's a deep dive in the true sense. And I love how it goes beyond just giving you a bunch of poems. It brings in all this music, historical context, and even, get this, AI, to give you this really immersive experience.
It's about time these voices get the attention they deserve.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like they knew we needed that extra something to really get the brilliance of these women.
Absolutely.
Okay, so before we jump into the poetry, maybe we should talk about that name for a sec. Sin Sombrero, which means without a hat. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, the name's like a poem in itself. Mm-hmm. It takes us back to Spain in the early 1900s. You had this group of women, artists, and intellectuals who were like, you know what? We're ditching the hats. It was a total rebellion against all those societal norms, you know, the ones trying to put them in a box.
So it's more than fashion. It's a statement.
It's a statement, for sure.
These women weren't just writing poetry. They were living it. They were challenging everything. And speaking of challenges, they were working in a literary world that was, well, let's be honest, dominated by men.
Yeah, it was tough. It's hard to imagine trying to make your voice heard when society's basically trying to mute you. These women faced so much criticism, got ignored, and yet their talent just shone through. It left a mark that's still inspiring us today.
It's incredible. And it's not just one style or voice either. With La Sin Sombrero, we get to meet all these amazing writers. Alejandra Pizarnik, who goes deep into the dark parts of the human psyche. Gabriela Mistral, who was so powerful in the way she talked about love, loss, and social justice. And then there's Rosario Castellanos, who makes you think about identity, gender, indigenous cultures. The range is just incredible.
And that's just the beginning. There's Blanca Varela, whose imagery is so strong it feels like you're right there in the poem. Sofia de Mello, always searching for meaning and connection. And then you've got Adelia Prado, who finds poetry in everyday life, showing us that even the simplest things can hold so much emotion. Oh, and we can't forget Matilda Espinosa, exploring what it means to belong, to have an identity. It just adds another layer to this whole amazing mix of voices.
It's like each poet adds their own little piece to this incredible picture of the human experience. And to make sure these voices really hit home, the project doesn't just stop with the words. They bring in music by Paco Damas.
Music, yeah. It's brilliant. Damas manages to capture each poet in his music. He translates their emotions and images into melodies. Like, imagine hearing Pizarnik's words, palabras para despertar muertos, set to music. It gives me chills. You can actually hear all of these musical versions on pacodamas.com.
Such a great collaboration.
Yeah.
But there's even more to La Sin Sombrero, right? It's not just about enjoying the art. It's about understanding it, too.
Right.
They have these fantastic educational activities that totally take things to a whole new level.
And here's where things get really interesting. They're using AI, specifically generative artificial intelligence, or IAGEN, to help students dive deep into the poems and what they mean. Like, imagine being able to ask a virtual assistant about some tricky part of a poem, or even have it come up with new lines in the original style.
Wait, so it's like you're having a conversation with the poem itself.
Exactly.
That's mind-blowing. This project is really changing how we learn about literature, how we connect with it.
For sure.
And then there's this really cool concept they call transduction. It's all about how different people, teachers, musicians, students, they all play a role in bringing these works to life.
Yeah, like each interaction just spreads the word, takes those voices further and further. But let's not forget that these women weren't just figures in a book. They lived through some really tough times, violence, marginalization, even exile. And all the while, they were fighting to be heard. It makes you wonder what incredible writing we might have missed out on if these women hadn't been so determined to share their voices.
It really puts things in perspective, doesn't it? It makes you grateful. And their achievements, like winning those Nobel and Cervantes prizes, they mean so much more when you think about all the obstacles they had to overcome.
It's like talent finds a way, even when things are tough.
For sure. So let's dive into some of those challenges. You mentioned violence and marginalization before. Can you give us some specifics?
Well, a lot of these women lived through really intense periods like the Spanish Civil War, dictatorships in Latin America. Imagine the weight of that, living through such upheaval.
It's easy to forget that history's not just dates and names. It's real people going through real things.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely changes how you see their poetry.
Right. It adds a whole other layer. And then on top of all that, you had these really strict societal expectations for women back then. They were supposed to be seen and not heard, you know, stick to their domestic roles.
It's hard to even imagine that kind of pressure to conform. How many voices must have been silenced?
It's a sad thought, but these women, they wrote anyway. They poured everything onto the page, challenged those expectations, and said, hey, we have thoughts and feelings too.
Almost like their writing was a form of rebellion, a way to take back their stories.
I think it was more than that. It was a way to connect with other people, share their unique view of the world, and ultimately find meaning and purpose in a world that often tried to deny them both.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So were there any common threads in their work, themes that connected these different voices?
Definitely. One of the biggest ones was identity, both personal and collective. They were wrestling with questions like, who am I? Where do I fit in? How do my experiences shape how I see the world?
Like they were using poetry to map out their journeys, to understand a world that often felt chaotic.
Exactly. And their exploration of identity, it often overlapped with themes of gender and societal expectations. They questioned those traditional roles, pushed back against stereotypes. They wanted to be seen as individuals, you know?
I get it. And it wasn't just the themes. Their styles were different, too. Pizarnik, going into the surreal, the subconscious. Mistral, with her direct, strong voice. It's incredible how they each found their own way to express themselves.
It really is. And that mix of styles, it shows how brilliant they were as individuals. They weren't afraid to experiment, to push the boundaries of language and form to get their points across.
Their work was beautiful and daring. They weren't afraid to tackle difficult topics, to shed light on the injustices they saw.
Right. And by exploring these themes and styles, they created works that went beyond their time and place. They were talking about universal human experiences. Love, loss, longing, searching for meaning, things that still resonate with us today.
And the imagery. Pizarnik's haunting metaphors, Varela's descriptions of nature. It's like you can see it all in your mind.
Like you're right there with them, feeling what they felt, seeing what they saw. That's the magic of poetry, right? It connects us across time and space, makes us feel less alone.
And La Sin Sombrero takes that magic and amplifies it, combining the poetry with music, visuals, educational activities. It's not just about reading the words, it's about experiencing them.
Exactly. But to really get it, we also need to understand the context. These women weren't writing in a vacuum. Their words were tied to what was happening around them, the social, political, and cultural stuff.
So let's talk about that historical context.
Yeah.
What were some of the big events and movements that shaped their lives and their writing?
Well, as we mentioned, the 20th century was a time of massive change and turmoil, especially in Spain and Latin America. Take the Spanish Civil War, for instance. That had a huge impact on a lot of writers, including some of the Sin Sombrero poets.
It's a really tragic and often forgotten part of history, but it was a turning point for literature at the time.
Totally. And then you have the dictatorships that popped up across Latin America throughout the 20th century. Those regimes often silenced anyone who disagreed with them and went after writers and intellectuals who dared to speak out.
It's awful to think about all the voices that were silenced during those times, all the stories that were never told.
It is. But even in those dark times, there were sparks of hope and resistance. A lot of writers, including the Sin Sombrero poets, used their words to fight for what was right, to challenge oppression, and to speak up for those who couldn't.
Art is a form of activism, even when it's dangerous. It's inspiring.
It really is. And the Sin Sombrero poets, with their bold voices, they embodied that spirit. They refused to be silenced. And their words, they still encourage us to fight for a better world.
It's amazing how their personal stories, their styles, and the historical context all come together to create something so rich and complex.
And La Sin Sombrero does a fantastic job of weaving it all together, giving us an experience that encourages us to explore, to learn, and to be inspired.
Like putting together a puzzle. And with each piece, we get a deeper understanding of these women, their work, and even ourselves and the world we live in.
And the more we learn, the more we realize how much these women had to offer. Their voices, silenced for so long, are finally being heard. And their words are still relevant today.
It just goes to show art can really transcend time and connect with us on a human level.
Absolutely. And the La Sin Sombrero Project, with its fresh approach and focus on accessibility, it ensures that these voices will continue to inspire people for years to come.
It's truly a remarkable project. It makes you wonder what other hidden gems are out there, just waiting to be discovered.
That's the beauty of it all. Exploring literature and history, there's always something new to find, another story to be told.
And La Sin Sombrero reminds us that those stories can be found in unexpected places, sometimes right under our noses. It challenges us to look beyond the obvious, to seek out those voices that have been pushed aside or forgotten.
It's a call to action, an invitation to open our minds and embrace the richness and diversity of human experience.
It really is. It opens up all these new possibilities. Speaking of which, we should talk more about the music they use. It's not just background noise. It really adds something special.
Totally. It's like last time when we talked about Pizarnik's words being set to music. It just elevates the whole experience, right? Like, music gives those words wings.
It does. Music has this way of going beyond language and connecting with us on a deeper level. And by putting these poems to music, Paco Damas makes them accessible to people who might not normally read poetry.
Yeah. It's like he's built this bridge between these powerful words and a wider audience. And you mentioned how his music is so diverse. It really adds another layer.
For sure. It does.
Damas blends in flamenco, jazz, even classical influences. It's amazing how he matches the music to the tone and themes of each poem. It's a true partnership, a conversation between the poet's words and the musician's interpretation.
Each song becomes its own little masterpiece. And it's so easy to find them, too, right on Damas's website.
A whole treasure chest waiting to be opened. And speaking of treasures, La Sin Sombrero doesn't just stop at music. Remember those educational resources we talked about? They're not your average run-of-the-mill stuff.
Oh, right, right. That AI and iAgent stuff. It's pretty wild how they're using technology to bring these women's work to life.
It shows how technology can actually make learning more exciting. Imagine a student being able to ask a virtual assistant about a metaphor in a poem, or even have the AI create new verses in the original style. It's like bringing the past into the present.
Yeah, like breaking down those barriers of time and allowing us to connect with these women on a personal level. It really speaks to the project's commitment to keeping these voices alive for future generations.
Absolutely. They're not just preserving history, they're making it relevant for today.
And that transduction thing you talked about, it fits in perfectly here. It's like everyone involved, teachers, musicians, students, they're all adding to a deeper understanding of these works.
A beautiful cycle of interpretation, right? Meaning isn't fixed. It changes as we interact with art.
I love that. So as we wrap up, what would you say is the most important thing for our listeners to take away from all of this? What do you hope they leave with?
I hope they leave with a sense of awe, a desire to explore the world of these incredible women. Their words have so much power to move us, to challenge us, to inspire us. Let their voices resonate within you and carry their legacy forward.
Beautifully said. This has been an amazing journey into the world of La Sin Sombrero, a world full of poetry, music, history, and a reminder that there are always new voices to discover, new stories to be told, and new ways to experience the power of art. So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep the spirit of La Sin Sombrero alive.